to carry me home. I saw a band of angels coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low,
swing low,
sweet chariot, coming for to carry me.
Why don't you swing?
Swing down chair, stop and let me ride.
Won't you swing?
Swing down chair, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord, slow and easy. Know that I've got a home on the other side. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm coming to. Coming for to carry me home.
Why don't you swing?
Swing down chair, stop and let me ride.
Won't you swing?
Swing down chair, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Slow and easy, you know that I've got a home on the other side. Well, I'm sometimes up and I'm sometimes down. Coming for to carry me home.
But I know that my soul is a heavenly bound.
Coming for to carry me home.
Why don't you swing?
Swing down chair, stop and let me ride.
Won't you swing?
Swing down chair, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Slow and easy,
know
that I've got a home on the other side. You know that I've got a home on the side.
Well, maybe you heard about the lady who went to the doctor and she's just all torn up. She says, "Doctor, doctor, my back is all bent over. There's spots all along my arms. There's wrinkles all over me. What's wrong with me?" The doctor thought for a moment, then he said, "Well, I'm not sure, but one thing I do know, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight." Well, why do you think many people, including a lot of Christians, worship the idol of good health? Now, there's a lot of insecurities about God when it comes to sickness. When we enter the discussion of sickness, when that enters the picture, there's a lot of different teachings about sickness today that is quite unhealthy. Is it possible to be good and sick? That's what I want to talk to you about today as we return to our series dealing with healing. We're talking today about good and sick. Now, there's a theology of sickness that we need to kind of delve into just a little bit. Theology, theos, that's talking about God. Anytime you see the word theos, that's talking about God. Theology means the study of God. And so there's a couple of things we want to talk about initially today and try to unwrap the mystery. And this is a mystery, this thing about sickness and Christians being sick and if God really cared. And you know how that sentence is completed. Two extremes. Here's the first. Sickness is not good. That's just not good. Now, there's a theological bent, if you will, about sickness. It's called Calvinism, Calvinistic teaching. And that simply says everything is already set. Everything is already predetermined. It's determined already, and you can do nothing about it. And so because everything's already predetermined and I can do nothing about it, then I'm just going to sit by passively and resign myself to whatever comes instead of asking God to take whatever it is away. Whatever the sickness may be, if I have a Calvinistic point of view, then I'm just going to say, well, it's just God's will. There's nothing I can do about it. And we realize the Bible teaches that there's some good things that can come out of sickness. We know that. We've all experienced that if we've lived any length of time at all. We know that's true. The Bible says in Romans, the 8th chapter, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, verse 28. So good things can come out of sickness. Good things can come out of persecution, but I don't know too many of us that want to be persecuted. Do you? I don't. Jesus was hostile against sickness. Let me show you what I mean by that. In the 9th chapter of the Mark's Gospel, there's a father who brings his boy to Jesus. His boy's sick, and he tried to get Jesus' disciples to heal him, but they couldn't. So the Bible says in verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. In Luke 4, verses 38 and 39, Jesus, the Bible says, left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. That's Simon Peter. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. There in Mark 9, 25, he rebuked the evil spirit. In Luke 4, he rebuked the fever, and she got up at once and began to wait on them. So Jesus was always healing sickness. He was hostile against sickness because he recognized why we're sick in the first place. You see, the devil has marred the Father's creation. And Jesus was always hostile toward that. Sickness is not good, folks. But the second thing about this mystery is the good can get sick. Now, this is an equally unhealthy extreme if we're not careful, because the teaching or the theory goes something like this. No Christian should be sick. He should not be denied a physical healing if he is sick, and he won't be if he just has enough faith. Well, I don't believe that's true either, because I believe the good can get sick. I remember when Job's friends came to him, they sat for a whole week and didn't say a word. And then when they did open their mouth, the Bible says they were miserable counselors. You go to the back of the book of Job and you see how God feels about that kind of counseling. The good can get sick. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 tells us about Elisha. The Bible says Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. He eventually died from his illness. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. So Elisha was good, but he got sick and eventually died from his illness. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Paul is talking to Timothy as he concludes the second letter. He says, Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. He tells Timothy in the first letter, stop drinking only water, use a little wine because your stomach and your frequent illnesses. In Philippians chapter 2, he says this about a dear friend, Epaphroditus. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. Now watch this, verse 26. For he longs for all of you, and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill. and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. John writes in his little epistle that bears his name, 3 John, he says the elder, chapter 1, well, there's only one chapter in 3 John, 3 John 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, the elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth, verse 2, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. The good can get sick. Paul told the Galatians, he said, it was in a physical infirmity when I first came to you. Many believe it was Paul's eyesight. Galatians 4 and verse 13. We have a culture today that is obsessed. We are just obsessed with wellness. We are obsessed with the body beautiful. And so if someone is handicapped, we don't even like using that word, physically or mentally challenged, we like to say, then we just won't talk about that. This health and wealth gospel that has permeated the Christian culture for many, many years and has been propagated by the television, the TV evangelist, televangelist, it causes a lot of people to be confused a lot about this thing, this being good and yet sick at the same time. The Jews thought that if you were sick, you were bad. Jesus, of course, came along and taught us differently. We need a healthy theology of sickness today, folks. And what I'd like to do is to talk about this theology, I believe, is a healthy theology, and from 4 different perspectives today. A healthy theology from 4 different points of view or 4 different perspectives. And here's the first one as we try to unravel this mystery. Number one, sickness persists because creation is still unredeemed. And that's an important point to get. Sickness persists because creation is still unredeemed. Did you know every sickness, every pain, every death is due to the fallenness of the creation? Did you know that? In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, beginning verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. See, the believer approaches sickness with faith. That's why we boldly ask for healing. But we also have hope as well in the process. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven. That's our ultimate healing. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious, so that they will be like his glorious body. Sickness persists because creation is still unredeemed. We have hope that we will be redeemed and sickness will end, but that hasn't happened yet. Sickness persists because creation is still unredeemed. Number two, Scripture lists several possible causes for sickness. You see, if sin automatically caused sickness, we would all be sick all the time. Amen? Any significant illness, however, should cause the believer to do a scriptural inventory. And I'll tell you why I say that. Jesus encounters a man in the 5th chapter of John's gospel who'd been laying by a pool for 38 years, couldn't get in the pool, had nobody to help him. They were hoping that he was hoping to be healed. And yet Jesus says something to him later after Jesus encourages him and he gets in the pool finally and is healed. Jesus says to him in the temple later, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may come or something worse may happen to you." So it could very well be that the first thing that we would find if we did a spiritual inventory of our lives, and the first possibility why we're sick, is disobedient lifestyle. Maybe you're living in a way that God is unhappy with, and it has caused you to be sick. In James chapter 5, James talks about the sick calling for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint them with oil and pray over them. Then he says in verse 15, "And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven." Now that seems to indicate to me that it just could be that there's a sin involved. And so that's why it ought to be asked. We ought to inquire of the person who's coming. Is there anything in your life that's happening, going on, that's causing this sickness? And if it is, then that needs to be addressed and repented of. Proverbs chapter 3 says it like this. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." So it seems to indicate that if we are fearing the Lord and we're shunning evil, we're not deliberately sinning, then health is going to be brought to our body and our bones will be nourished. Psalm 38:3, "Because of your wrath," the psalmist says, "there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin." So Scripture lists that as a possibility for a cause of sin. What lists what, preacher? Disobedient lifestyle. Are you living a disobedient lifestyle? Second thing that could cause you to be sick, not only a disobedient lifestyle, but maybe God's disciplining you. Sure, maybe God is disciplining you. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 says, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Well, how will those curses be manifest, Lord? How will we know? Verse 21, "The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess." Verse 61, "The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until you are destroyed." Could it be that God allows a person to remain sick in order to get their attention? Could it be that God is disciplining you today due to some disobedient act in your life? The psalmist David said when I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. In other words, David disobeyed God, and God caused his body to suffer as well as his soul and his spirit. So the first thing that could cause sickness could be a disobedient lifestyle. The second thing could cause sickness would be God's disciplining you. Here's the third. It could be Satan's work. That's right. It could be Satan's work. It certainly was in Job's life. Remember? God allowed it, of course, but Job was the source of it. In Luke 13, from verses 11 through 16, some interesting scriptures. Listen to what Jesus said. This was Satan's work about a lady who was sick. "And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all." Crippled by a spirit, the Bible says. "When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to the woman, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." Now listen to what Jesus said. "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham," watch this now, "a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" Is it possible today that a person can be sick because Satan has worked in their life? You say, well, if God allowed Satan to inflict Job, then God's the problem. No, God is not the problem, folks. God is the answer. Jesus, the Bible says, went about doing good, Acts 10:38. All that's evil, all that's bad, rest at the feet of the evil one. And Jesus saw healing people of diseases as spiritual warfare. Here's another possibility. Now remember, we're talking about several possible causes for sickness: disobedient lifestyle, God's discipline, Satan's work. Here's a fourth: poor lifestyle choices. That's right, poor lifestyle choices. Now Paul tells Timothy that bodily exercise profiteth little, and godliness profitable unto all things. But he says bodily exercise profits little, but it does profit a little. I think sometimes we fail to take proper care. We're not the stewards of our bodies that we ought to be. And because of that, we're sick. We don't eat right. We don't get enough rest. We don't get enough exercise. And it causes our bodies to respond in a negative way. Do a spiritual inventory. Most people will say, well, it just wears me out thinking about it. Well, you're never going to be better unless you do. You can't ever get better from any problem until you first identify what the problem is. And so your problem may be a disobedient lifestyle. Your problem may be God's discipline. Your problem may be Satan's work in your life, or your problem may be poor lifestyle choices. All of us have been in some of those camps at some point in our lives, and we need to find out about it and repent of it, do better. And you'll see an improvement, I really believe, in your physical condition. Your blood pressure will be lowered, the less chance for ulcers. I mean, all kinds of problems, less stress in your life. So we're trying to unpack here. We're trying to dissect this theology of sickness. And we've said so far, sickness persists because creation is still unredeemed. And Scripture lists several possible causes for sickness. And we listed those: disobedient lifestyle, God's discipline, Satan's work, poor lifestyle choices. Here's point number three. The Bible insists that God's grace is greater than any illness. Now think about that. God's grace. You see, folks, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he talked about his struggle with sickness. He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, beginning, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations." Now, what's he talking about? Well, in the previous verses, he talks about this man he knew, and he later identifies it to be him, caught up into the third heaven, into paradise, heard things wasn't lawful to utter. So he says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardness, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong.'" So what Paul is saying to us is this: he learned to, by God's grace, he learned to deal with all of the problems that he was having. Listen, folks. One way we experience God's grace in illness is through healing. There's no question about it. And that's why we ask for healing, right? We ask God to heal us. But sometimes it doesn't happen. And then we start questioning God. Listen, when it doesn't happen, sometimes we manifest His grace, not only by healing, by being healed. Sometimes we manifest His grace by enduring rather than escaping. Some of you listening to me right now need to hear that. I need to hear it. Sometimes we manifest His grace. It's wonderful to go around telling people, God healed me of this, God healed me of that. And that's wonderful. And you ought to tell that. But sometimes, maybe just sometimes, if we would stop and think, we manifest His grace by enduring the sickness rather than escaping the sickness. Folks, there's a lot of grace involved in endurance. There was a fellow years ago by the name of Harold Willard. Harold Willard was born without any arms. When he was a little boy, his mother took him to the doctor, and after the examination, she was getting ready to leave, and she was trying to get his sweater on him. A little cool, so she was trying to get the sweater on him, and she just gave it to him and said, put your sweater on. Now, he's trying to get this sweater on, and he has no arms, and he's moving around and struggling, and he's beginning to cry. And a lady sitting across the way sees what's going on, feels sorry for the child, and she screams out after 5 minutes of this little boy struggling and crying, and the mother just sitting there, she says, why don't you help him? And the mother said, I am helping him. He's going to grow to be a man someday without arms. And he's going to have to learn to struggle through all kinds of things. Not just putting a sweater on, but many, many other things. He has to learn it now. With tears streaming down her cheek, she said, I am helping him. My, is that what God may be doing with some of you? Could it be that God is helping you by letting you struggle? One final thing. True faith consists of trusting God in sickness and in health. Listen, folks, nobody deserves to be healed. There's not a one of us today who deserves to be healed. It's always a gift from God. Would you be careful that you don't wind up wanting healing more than you want God? One fellow said he learned in life the importance of never complaining. He was sick and he was dying, but he said he came up with four things he was going to vow to do. Number one, in his home, he would never complain. Number two, he kept his home bright. Number three, he will always count his blessings. And Number four, he will turn this sickness into gain. So let's develop a twofold strategy before we end today. Two things to remember. Number one, always oppose sickness. Always oppose it. Paul never, ever was censured for asking God for healing. Remember, Jesus in the garden said, thy will be done. But before he asked if God could take the cup away. So always oppose sickness. Number two, never waste an illness. Never waste an illness. Someone said, we're born crying, but we're not supposed to live complaining. Do you think the Lord is trying to teach us something in sickness? I do. The Lord is always trying to teach. C.S. Lewis was once asked, why do the righteous suffer? His response is classic. He writes, why not? They're the only ones who can handle it. He would want me to remind you of that today. Until next Lord's Day, remember, keep looking to Jesus.